We'll reconvene for the administrative portion of our February 14th, 2018 meeting. All commissioners are still here. We have two items on the consent calendar. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, discussion matters. First one is on the Cherry Creek Pipeline case, but I think that it's really not about that anymore. That's the one that brought it up, but I think that has reached a different resolution. But it's still the interpretation issue, so I'll turn it over to Patrick.
Right. We had a bit of a discussion on the last commission meeting about the interpretation that determines the amount of the siting application fee. And I think Commissioner Crispin wanted to take a look at the legislation regarding that to see how we could, if we could interpret that to mean the total investment, not just the new investment, for example, on a conversion pipeline, not just the new investment, but the investment of the whole project to establish the application fee. And in the case of Cherry Creek, they did file the full amount. But going forward, we want a policy, want to establish policy so that so that I can tell the companies when they make their application that it's based on the entire investment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I was concerned about when we discussed it last time, you know, the discussion around just what makes sense seemed logical to me, and I'll just make up an example, but if you had a 50-mile pipeline that's already in the ground and adding one valve for a couple hundred thousand dollars is going to bring it under our jurisdiction, we're not just going to be checking that valve when we approve that certificate. We have to go back and check the whole thing out. And so to just get the siting fee dollars on the cost of the valve just leaves us way short. Mm-hmm. And so it made sense to me that it would be on the investment. The bigger the project originally, the bigger the job we have ahead of us. But I wanted to see what the law said. You know, sometimes the things evolve and something wasn't taken into consideration, but we still have to follow the law, even if it doesn't really make sense. But in reviewing it, discussing it with Patrick, discussing it with Alana, it's not written and specifically spelled out that way, but I think the intent is certainly clear enough that it is for the cost of the whole project, not just for the upgrade that causes the project to be jurisdictional. So I'm fine with what was being proposed.
Good. And then we're going to do a rulemaking for this, correct? Didn't Alana say that we should get it into the rules?
She did think that would be the next step.
I thought it was just a policy.
No.
It's a policy until we can get the rule adopted, until we do the adopting. And then at that time, it's explained.
I thought she basically said we don't have policies. She said something about that. Anyway.
Right. Well, my intention is that I wanted to know that if I tell the company, it's going to be based on the whole investment, not just the new portion of the investment, that the commissioners know that that's what I'm doing.
Okay. But we should get it added to the rulemaking process and do that, and then we can have a discussion with industry and see if we're missing something.
Yep.
Okay,
so proceed with that.
You bet.
Moving forward. Number two is NSP's Foxtail Wind Project. Jerry Lean.
We have issued a notice of opportunity, and the comment period has expired. And so we're to the point now to decide, should we have a work session? Or I have a draft order that I could distribute. And then if you want a work session, we could arrange it.
That has an interesting dynamic with Game and Fish.
Well, that's really more on the siting side of things. This is a PCNN, right?
This is the PCNN, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think we've done that. We've worked through the issues with Game and Fish on the siting side of things, and
we've already approved the
and approved
siting.
It. Yep,
I believe.
Yep.
Yep.
So this is the other component, which is the PCNN.
Right.
And they have I always forget the term. Oh, that's an ADP, the prudent.
This is one of their projects in the ADP application on the 1550.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, I'm happy to look at it from my perspective, look at the draft. Order and go from there. But if others want a work session, I'm happy to visit about it.
I am too. I want to see the okay. order before okay. I commit to it. But if it's as I expect it is, I probably don't need a work session.
Yeah, I agree. Let's take a look.
I'll distribute the order.
Okay. Then number three is also, Jerry, topsoil segregation on roads and trenching and pole augering.
So I brought this brought back from last week. I visited with the county commissioner that Julie asked, Daryl Dukart. And I visited with the construction inspector for the Meadowlark. Meadowlark's the one that brought this up. I visited with them, which is McCain and Associates. And then from the Soil Conservation Service, Kent Peterson from McKenzie County. He's kind of involved in the statewide effort, too. And so I asked them on three issues. The first was the ditch witch. And they all pretty much agreed that the ditch witch was less impact than trying to segregate the topsoil with a backhoe. one comment was interesting in that if you're using a narrow trench in the ditch witch, that the topsoil and the cover tends to spread back over it over a period of time. And after a while, you want it barely know that it was there. But an issue that came up repeatedly with it was that the ditch witch has a tendency to settle afterwards. And so you need to be back in there and fill it in if it settles with topsoil.
Mm.
And so that was their only reservation on the ditch witch. You can't really compact it afterwards. And so that was the ditch witch. The other one I asked about was the roads. they had asked if they could only go down as far as they needed to go down to put the road bed in, or as opposed to taking the topsoil all the way out, all the way down. And what I got back from that is was differing. The county commissioner felt that, well, if you can use that topsoil somewhere else, he'd like to see that.
Take it out all the way down to the where it breaks into the subsoil.
But really that would depend on if you can use it somewhere, like the farmer has a use for it in the field or something. Of course, he'd like to see be able to build up his fields.
Sure.
In the low spots, things.
Let me just interrupt there. I don't think any of this is about building up fields, but to me, I wasn't in the conversation. I'm guessing what he meant by using it elsewhere is over on the next hill on the same road where the topsoil is like an inch thick and you're going to have a heck of a time getting the grass started again. That's where you would use it. Not to haul it away and build up fields somewhere.
Well, if he has a low spot in his field, that came up, that, you know, water sitting in there, you can fill it in. But the SCS guy, he thought in 20 or 30 years that the concrete that they mixed into the soil would decompose to the point where it wouldn't hardly be noticeable, and when they would plow it through afterwards to restore the road, that it would just mix into the soil and it wouldn't make much difference. And so he wasn't opposed to leaving it there.
Jerry, who is that again that made that comment?
Soil Conservation, Kent Peterson from Soil Conservation Service. So that was his feeling on it. The third person I talked to on that one was Inspector, which was Todd Hartleburn from McCain. And they had interpreted it as you only need to segregate the topsoil down to the amounts you needed to take out. And so there wasn't a requirement that you dig down deeper than you needed to get all the topsoil out of there. And I think that has been the interpretation out there, and it was my interpretation too from reading the language in the document. So that is that and that. Well, there was one other thing that came up over and over again, and that was storing the topsoil if you do remove it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty much unanimous that you shouldn't put the topsoil in a pile and then plant a little grass on top of it, because the topsoil down in the pile goes dormant over the period of time where it's all those years. So they would like to see that topsoil used somewhere where it has roots and stuff in it and decomposition and stuff like that to keep it from going dormant or going stale over the years. And so they all thought it was a bad idea to pile it up. And then there was concern from others about the landowners wouldn't want it piled up either. So the thought was that you're better off to use the topsoil and then either strip it back up again if you're going to put it back where it was at the end of the 30 years, or haul some in from somewhere else.
Doesn't this put landowners in a difficult position where they're being told this should probably be okay to do it, maybe not take all of the topsoil out? I just find it hard to believe that landowners wouldn't want the topsoil stripped, the roads put in, and at least it's spread evenly along the side of the road. It might be thicker than it was before, but you're still going to have the soil microbes and the activity.
There was talk about putting topsoil on the side of the road too.
Right, and it's where it should be. It can be segregated when the roads go out at some point in time, but I think landowners are really...
But that we were talking there more...
At risk here.
On the 4 inches that they need or whatever they needed to take out, they would put it more on the side of the road was a solution for where it went.
I'm going to weigh in here, Jerry, and mm-hmm. I feel strongly about this. The reason we have this siting is because these are large issues and dealing with the overall good of the state, not just of what an individual landowner wants. If you just do what's best for each landowner, it's take the cash up front and not worry about it. But the reason we have a coal reclamation program is for the same reason. You do things so things can, in fact, be restored on some future generation when the land is probably owned by somebody else, not just cash in. Now, I get that when you build a big topsoil pile and cover it with grass so it doesn't erode, that over the course of many years, you lose that nutrient content in the soil and some work needs to be done to restore it. But it can be done, and that's what the mines do. Now, the flip side to that, yes, if you have miles of road and so you pull your topsoil off and instead of building a pile, you just spread it and always it's in the ditch, and now, let's just say instead of 6 inches of topsoil in the ditch, you have 8 or 9 inches. That means that that company is going to have acres and acres of those ditches someday to pull a couple inches off of, to put back in the middle, and then they're going to have to restore grass on the whole thing. So their ultimate end cost that they're going to need to be preparing for at the end and setting aside financial reserves for is a lot more if you spread that over a big area than if you spread it over a small area. That's something they're going to have to weigh into consideration, but we have got to be setting aside this topsoil, keeping track of where it's at, and having it available for the future reclamation, or else the whole program just falls apart.
So can you remind me, what is it we're looking for today? Are you looking for a decision about our requirements?
Well, if we're going to interpret the certification document to require them to remove all the topsoil for access roads, then I guess we need to make that decision.
Okay, so that's what we're looking to decide today.
On this one. The other one was whether or not ditch witches were okay. And there was a third issue that we brought up, and that is when you put a pole in the ground with an auger, do you need to segregate the topsoil out? There will be about that. You know, it depends how big your pole is. But
right.
If you've got a couple of foot circle and you dig it out, the consensus on that was that it was such a small amount of topsoil that it's not worth bringing in some kind of a loader or something to move it around with. And so the kind of consensus from everybody was that that wasn't worth worrying about.
And that's been done. I mean, companies have been doing this a certain way on all these poles without any additional direction from us, right?
They've been doing it. Whether or not they've segregated the topsoil on it, I tell them to.
For transmission poles?
They haven't been right up for it.
Transmission poles?
Yeah, for transmission line poles.
Okay.
It's a different story with a transmission line if you are putting a substation in. You got to grade that off and put gravel base and stuff in there.
You say there's not clarity in how our certification document is written right now with what we're...
I don't think in that regard either. It talks about ditches and so forth, and it leaves it a little open as to whether or not when you auger a pole, if that needs to be done.
Well, I appreciate all the work you did talking to these various people. I don't feel comfortable without looking at the siting, the certification, and looking at what the language is, even saying what needs to be changed or reinterpreted. And so I guess I would say we might just want a half an hour work session on this or come back at a future informal or a discussion and bring the citing, the certification document, and some recommendations, I guess.
I think you're right, and except for, I think, because there's several subjects here, it will take more than a half hour. Because here's the other thing with the ditch witching and the pole augering. You know, it's easy to think of just a wooden utility pole, and they're going to drive one time down and set in a pole because one rotted off and go about their business. But then you also have, and I'll use Basin Electric's transmission line that we cited from Antelope Valley to Nesset, where they are probably in the course of that project making dozens or hundreds of trips up and down that right-of-way. So their pole, yeah, they have four holes that they have to auger, but they have to pull that topsoil anyway because otherwise they would have it so compacted from all the traffic they're doing it anyway. And so there too with ditch witching, they make some pretty big ditch witches nowadays. And so a little one that I think we all think of, and they're just cruising down and laying a wire in, I'm fine with not messing around with topsoil. I think it's actually best for the land. But if this is something so big that they're going to compact the land around it, then that ceases to be the case. Then it needs to be stripped because of compaction issues, not because of the ditch width.
So if you're thinking work session, I think that Meadowlark would like a chance to talk. Could we make it an informal hearing?
I'm all right with that. I think it's good to get information from the companies. Just more information is better.
So move it down to scheduling?
Sure.
Are they going to accept the date we choose, or do we have to find dates before we bother scheduling?
You don't need us to schedule a work informal. You can talk with them and identify an informal that works for them and just put it on the calendar.
I can do that.
So it doesn't get canceled, then make sure there's a case number.
Yep, I'll do that.
All right.
Well, but floating around, you can't put it on a date where we're booked up.
No, scheduled informal.
Yeah, that hasn't been designated.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. On agenda day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
just
sorry.
One comment.
That's right. That's Commissioner Bethesda.
If we have an informal with Meadowlark, do you want a separate work session to work on the certification document? Or do you want to just decide that later?
Well, can't we do them together?
Maybe. We can try it.
I think it would be easier to just talk about all of it.
On this subject, have the certification documents evolved considerably, or in this area has it been the same for all of them anyway?
Not much.
It hasn't changed much over the years. And it's pretty much the same for electric and pipeline.
And wind farms?
Yes, topsoil. The topsoil part of it.
Same topsoil language.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead and get that scheduled. Then we will move into scheduling.
We have one more.
One more, Randy.
The transportation.
Transportation.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the old one because I had made notes on the old one. Mm-hmm. Okay, for tomorrow's transportation.
This morning I received a call from Sandra over at DOT. She's the one I work with to get the plane reservations. The pilot was looking over the information for tomorrow's flight and noticed that there's a storm system that's coming through Watford City tonight and tomorrow that's supposed to drop 1 to 3 inches of snow. Apparently they can still fly us into Watford City, but if the plane is flying through the snow system and builds up ice on the plane, they aren't going to be able to take off from Watford City because Watford City doesn't have a hangar to put the plane in or de-icing. So the second option I can do is leave earlier in the morning at 6:50, fly into Williston. The plane can go in a hangar in Williston, pick up a vehicle at the airport from DOT, or from State Fleet, drive down to Watford City, have the hearing, the plane can pick us up in Watford City and fly back.
Well, I was actually looking at leaving at a little after 5 o'clock and driving up because I have another function tomorrow night that I'm hoping to attend, so I may wind up being back up. Well, actually, no. Actually, it wouldn't work for getting people home.
Jerry, I'm not so objectionable to that Williston thing and leaving early. But wouldn't it work out about the same for them to leave at the same time we had scheduled, drop us off in Watford City, and then go up to Williston and wait for us?
Yeah, that's what they...
As opposed to flying all the way to Williston and then taking a...
No, I asked them about that, and they said that wouldn't be a possibility, that they would fly right up to Williston, because that way if they have ice on the plane, if they drop you off in Watford City, they can't take off again with the ice, if they accumulate ice.
Is the storm supposed to be over by afternoon, or won't it be the same when they pick us up?
I'm not sure.
They can't take off again?
Apparently it's supposed to taper off in the morning, from what I've seen on the weather forecast.
So by the afternoon, they don't anticipate a problem.
Not that I know of. See, if the plane sits in the hangar, it'll be fine because there won't be any ice. They'll be able to take off, fly down to Watford City, and you guys can leave directly from Watford City. You would just have to leave the van at the airport at Watford City.
I think what Commissioner was saying is that the flight between from Williston to Watford City on the way back, they pick up ice on the way.
Well, as far as I know, that shouldn't be a problem. They didn't say that would be a problem.
So what time do we need to leave?
You'd have to leave at 6:50. You would get to Williston at about 7:45. It's a 42.6 miles, so it's going to be probably about an hour.
Well, one other option, I think, too, is driving back to Williston from Watford City after the hearing and leaving from Williston.
Yeah, I suppose play that by ear, make a decision toward noon or something. And
then the state fleet, the vehicle ends up back where it came from. And
and is there a big charge to leave that state fleet vehicle at a different location? No?
Didn't seem to be.
Okay. I think that's a fine option to go leave earlier and play it safe.
Has someone checked with, I don't even remember who counsel is or the judge, but.
Not yet.
But, I mean, it's not like it's a different day or anything like that. It's just leaving a little earlier. What time were we going to leave? 7:30?
7:30.
So we're moving it up by 40 minutes.
You'd have to be out at the airport by probably 6:30 then.
6:45. It doesn't take 20 minutes to walk from your car to the airport. Or maybe 6:48.
Well, I was told 15 minutes ahead of time.
Yeah, you guys always tell us that, but it doesn't take that long to walk from the parking lot.
So 6:50 is could the crawl, flight departure
it wouldn't
time.
Take that long.
That would be the flight departure time to Williston.
Okay, let's. I say we just do that. Is there a disagreement?
It's really up to you two. I'm getting up at 4:30 to drive up anyway. So.
Okay,
go ahead and set that up. Do let us know if you run into some problem.
Okay, is that driving back to Williston or having them pick you up?
Let's plan on them picking us up, but then if the weather stays bad and they feel that it's a threat to try and land at Watford and then take off again, then we will drive back to Williston and meet them.
Thanks, Jerry, for working that all out.
Yeah. It's an interesting dilemma. How can I go to scheduling?
Looks like it.
It could be a snowstorm.
Okay.
For 3 days.
Otter Tail Power.
Yeah. So there have been a couple of emails, and the first one talked about doing them in March. But then we found that they wouldn't be able to do a bill stuffer to all of their customers in time to do that in the March dates. The good thing about the March dates was that it was spring break at the schools, and we were able to get them done, one at noon and one at 5, on the same day. And we had either March 13 or 15.
But those are out, right?
Yeah, they're out because we can't get the notice out, and it costs $25,000 to print it. So I don't think that's an option.
Enough with that.
So we are kind of out on that. That left us April, and we can do the bill stuffers, but we have to do the sessions at night, and or at 5 o'clock. And we're having some difficulties scheduling. We had the 3rd and the 5th for two of them at 5 o'clock, but Randy cannot do the 5th. And on the next week, the 9th and 10th, I believe that's Monday and Tuesday, we could pick one of those days, but we haven't been able to confirm availability in Jamestown. And that brings up the subject of Botano. Randy suggested that we should have one in Botano as well. We haven't confirmed availability for those days in Botano either. And we don't have Minot for those last 2 days, period.
Well,
and what's
happening? We had a possible solution to all of this, fast and simple, is only have one public input session on April 3rd.
Could you do the 3rd and the 10th? I mean, do they have to be the same week?
They don't need to be the same week. We can. We have not confirmed availability at Botano, Jamestown, and we would have none at Minot on the 10th.
I have Botano. I talked to Botano and the college. We could use their facility any day from April 9th through the 20th. Okay. Minot, I did get some other dates. They would have evenings of April 11th, 12th, 17th, April 18th. And I'm trying to talk to Jamestown College about possibly moving it there. And I talked to a tech, and they have availability those days, the 5th, the 3rd, the 5th through the 20th, but they have to get it, have a supervisor approve it first.
Okay, so a couple of things. When I suggested adding Botano, that was instead of Minot.
Instead of Minot, yep.
And so, to me, we don't need both of those.
Yep.
I think in the past, we have done two sessions because we wanted one during business hours,
yep,
and one in the evening. Well, we can't seem to get deals with the state to do Ivan during business hours, so I don't know that we really need two evening input sessions. So
I kind of disagree.
One thought that I had on it also was we do the evening session on the 3rd, and maybe we just not use the Ivan network, but we do one centrally located live session on the 5th and do it in Jamestown. That's, I think, the most centrally located place for Otter Tail customers. Everybody's within a couple hundred miles, at least. And
are people really going to drive? More than
very few have ever come to our public input sessions, except for right here in Bismarck.
Why are we not trying to do this stuff online? I mean, we are obsessed with these public input sessions on Ivan. People use online stuff all the time. Go to meeting, web stuff. Why is this such a big deal? I don't get it. Are we required by law to do these in person, or what is the problem?
We're not required by law to do them at all.
Well, here's a thought on Minot. If Ivan's the big hang-up, I agree with what you're saying. Unless we all have to be together, I would go to Minot and help, you know, whether it was 2 people, 10 people, 15 people, I would be more than willing to go up there and be there, Skype in, whatever.
We can figure something out. You still have to find the dates and the
right. I mean, but if Ivan's the hang up,
doing it, but if
we can get around that,
can't get all the sites, I'd say, like, let's have 2 dates, because it's been how long since Otter Tail has had a rate increase? We ought to give the public an opportunity to respond. So have the 2 set dates, get as many locations as we can on the most convenient dates, and make it available online for anybody else.
Oh, I see. Sure.
The online we have thing, to we haven't start doing given
this. Is it, and it's just the element of, well, they can interact with us online as well. It's just not as smooth.
It's like a conference call, really.
Sure. Yep.
I mean, what's the problem with that, Jerry?
We talked with Steve a little bit on the online stuff and suggested to him that we could use our internet broadcast,
mm-hmm,
and then get us a bridge line here that's big enough to carry a whole bunch of people on it. And so they can call into the bridge and get audio and get video. And then Steve said he had some other ideas, and I haven't heard what those are yet. But.
Well, I'm willing to explore something, but when we talked about this before, I don't remember what the obstacles that we ran into, but just one thing that I'm envisioning. So we've got something advertised, we're having this meeting. Failing to have it is a big deal because then we have to start over, and someone out there doesn't know what they're doing and they won't mute their phone, and there's so much noise we can't conduct a meeting.
There's ways to mute that with the technology.
Yeah, you can mute it. You can mute it on from the admin hand.
Things have changed.
Well, and we have to start somewhere. It probably won't be perfect the first time we do it. There's probably going to be problems. I mean, that's kind of the nature of this, but I'm kind of tired of hearing all the reasons why we can't do it. Let's figure out how to get it done. People do this.
How about this then? Let's do the evening one on Wednesday that the schedule seems to all work out. We'll do it through Ivan. And then on, or was it Tuesday? I can't remember. The 3rd.
The 3rd.
And then on the 5th, on Thursday, we'll do our day one, and we'll do that with some other technology.
Our day.
Figured out with Steve.
Well, I'm not opposed to having whatever facilities we can for the second one, but it just seems to be that we can't get them all on the same date because it's really a challenge. And Jerry spent a ton of time probably trying to make this all work. And then work it with our schedules. So get as many as we can on a common date, and then just comfort ourselves by knowing we have another option that anybody, no matter where they live, can try and take advantage of it that way. And then we can even have the third option of, if you can't make the technology work, you have the phone number that you can call in to Victor, whoever it is that gets the stuff by phone or by email or however he's taking the comments, and they can submit comments to us as well. So let's just provide as many options as we can and start going down the path of some interactive technology that people can use from home.
I'm willing to try it, but shall we do it on the 5th during the day?
Or another possibility is it looks like we could maybe get everybody on the 10th. We're still working on it?
No, I can't do the 10th. If you do mine it, I can't do the 10th.
Jerry, that's because of my not on the 10th is because of...
We need a tech in the room to make sure that the Ivan is working and to shut it off. And Minet only has techs available certain days to do that.
We've not done Minot in the past with this, and if we do Botno, maybe. Maybe we wouldn't need to do Minot if we do Botno.
If we have Botno, we don't need to do Minot. That's not that far, and actually they don't serve in Minot.
Right. And we've not done Minot in the past for Otter Tail. I mean, they serve some little towns up in that area, but they can either drive to Washburn or to Botno.
Which facilities are available on the 5th during the day?
All of them.
No.
None of them.
Because of classes?
On the 5th.
Any weekday, like Washburn is at school, and they have class.
And which were the spring break days when we could use it during the day?
It was in March.
Oh, that's the March thing. Yeah. Okay, got it. Well, we could do that, like Randy said, we could just go straight interactive, like, technology for the second one and do it at, like, noon or something.
We could get the interactive to go. We could do it for both of them.
Right.
And we could do it at the same time as we're doing Ivan.
But we could also do it on the 5th during the day.
Oh.
And then we could do the 3rd and the 5th. The 5th, there wouldn't be any locations, Randy's proposing.
Maybe before we go all in on the interactive, let's do the Ivan on the 3rd in the evening.
Yep.
Like we always have. And then on the 5th in the day, we won't do Ivan. We'll do something interactive and try that. But let's not try and do two things at once when one of them we've never done before.
Commissioner Christman, I thought you couldn't do the 5th.
In the evening.
In the evening? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But we could start at noon. I would think we would want it over the noon hour and have it open till at least 2.
How has that worked out in the past? the daytime sessions.
Fine, about the same.
Well, you know, isn't this one, we have an intervener in this case, right?
Interveners, but that
one. We have a couple.
But I'm sure they will want to be here and monitor.
They're not really public people. I mean, one is a large industrial group. The other one is Walmart. And in addition to that, I just heard that United Mine Workers Union is going to file a petition to intervene. I'm not quite sure what they're thinking. But.
And so they might like to sit in on them, too, but at least one of them. So if there's not objection, I think that trying to work with Steve, figure out the best possible interactive method. Let's try it on Thursday, on the 5th. Does everybody agree, noon to 2?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not required to have multiples. And so if it doesn't work so good, we've still got the one that we did on the 3rd in the evening through Ivan. And
I was thinking Steve might.
Maybe Steve might have some comments on doing this.
You'll have to catch me up, though.
We're talking about we can't get Ivan network during the daytime, and we're even struggling to get evening things that match up. So for two separate listening sessions, I think we're leaning toward doing an evening one where the Ivan network is available and we've got pretty well worked out, but then do a separate daytime one a couple days later, not using Ivan, but some type of an interactive method.
Okay, so after this came up last time, I did have some fairly substantial discussions with ITD on some of the new stuff that they're putting in. And in theory, we could put our own endpoints out there and VPN back in, or hit our bridges just like we do with the Ivans. So essentially having a portable Ivan-compatible system out there. And there are a couple of ways to do it. Both of them will require some hardware that would go out to those sites.
Isn't there a way people can just call in and be on their phone and listen to us and talk? But we can mute them?
You can do that with a GoToMeeting type.
You could do it with a GoToMeeting. There's a number of ways to do that, yes.
Why can't we just do that?
Seems, yeah.
If they just sign up.
Are we overthinking this when it's.
And
we use it all the time.
And then call into our.
Where are you getting the video on our site?
The video that we normally broadcast.
Yeah, but if you're out having the hearing out there, you don't have that.
Oh, we'd have it here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then they could just watch us.
Yeah, you could.
Internet.
You could do that fairly easily.
And then give us a bridge big enough to however many call-ins we might get. I don't know, 50 or something.
Maybe we don't even take. Maybe they don't need to call in, and we don't take oral comments. They submit their comments in texts or emails.
Talking live stream and.
Steve, do we have the ability to patch into other video conference systems? Because when I was at the health department, we had sites in every single local public health unit, every single hospital.
Yes.
And I know that other organizations did use those. So
almost all of those are Polycom capable.
So if we're running into problems with the schools because the schools have classes, there's other sites out there that probably won't have the same, like a
yes,
local public.
The hard part is finding them.
Okay.
And
that's just a thought.
Yeah. No, and that's a good thought. There are a number of other
every single
arenas
county has
there.
A local public health unit with a unit in it.
And I'm almost certain those are probably Polycom units that are sitting there. Now, how you would arrange to use those, that's a different question.
I think
question.
You just contact the health department. I could tell you exactly who to call if it's something you wanted to explore.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
No?
No. Okay.
Just go the other route?
This route.
Okay.
It was just an idea.
That even, yeah, I appreciate that, Stacey, but even when it works great, the Ivan is not great.
Right. Well, yes.
So I think that. And it's awkward for people to have to go out to the location and find it, and it's usually in a college, and those campuses are hard to get around, and it's not that convenient.
So what are you
I think
thinking?
We should try to do it. So, I mean, honestly, if you could call in from home.
Absolutely.
How awesome would that be? You don't have to go anywhere. You can just, like, hey, call in, say your piece, listen,
In terms of accessibility, a go-to meeting where they can dial in, they have the video, you can see what's going on, you can interact, you can speak if you want to dial in enough.
How does that work? Because I've never very used one in a large group.
I think
100
for
people want to speak at once. How do we get control?
There's a flag that they raise, and you can
you go and
mute them
queue.
Or unmute them. I think for the go-to for what we're looking to use it for, I believe we have to buy the service, however. So that's something I will have to verify. Yeah, I will do that.
Because I'm not, I'd be, maybe go-to is down the road. Maybe it's perfect for now, but if we could even keep it simpler and do just a conference call.
Yeah.
There's not that much going on. Oh, well, I guess they do have slides usually, don't they? So
yep.
That is.
But that we can run out of here and push
yeah.
to any web browser. So.
And that'll be what all we really need to advertise is that they log on and they'll get further instructions during that input session. If they're logged on, they'll see what number they can call to ask a question, or if we think it's not going to work, they have them call what email address they can send a question to, or
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out right off the top of my head how we're going to handle incoming calls.
Can we get a bridge line just somewhere temporarily? A big one? Then you got the issue with everybody trying to talk at once. On
yes,
the bridge line,
I was just going to say that's the piece that is missing in that scenario is the ability to control what's going, who's coming in and who's talking and who isn't. And I can see some bad things going on there.
Maybe go to meeting or something like that.
Let me do some hard looking at costs for go to meeting. That one is pretty common. A lot of people know how to use it, and certainly we could put easily in those rooms a laptop with GoToMeeting on it and be able to talk to those rooms pretty nicely.
Yeah, I honestly don't think it's cost prohibitive, and you know, whether it was Botno or Jamestown, I would go to one of the locations without issue at all.
Yeah, what you're dependent on there, though, is whether or not you've got decent internet service going in and out.
Right, but
that's true of everything.
But in this day and age, we should be able to get around
there
conference corner.
Line, Steve, too. I used to use one for news conferences where there's a web app that ties to it. And you actually log in and it'll show you. You can mute everybody.
Whose product was that?
I can send you the link. I think it was called Meeting One.
Yeah.
It's going to cost money, though. That's the only thing that I don't know. But it ties to it and you can control everything then. You can mute everybody, and then if they want to speak, they do the same thing. They press that.
Well,
see them raise their little hand on the screen, and then you can unmute them.
Yeah,
and let them
I think that's almost identical to what GoToMeeting does.
But GoToMeeting, do you have to have rooms again? You have to have rooms lined up?
You wouldn't have to have the
wouldn't
rooms.
Wouldn't have to.
No.
We do that from their home.
When we're talking about doing one without any physical other sites except for here.
Yep.
I mean, you could use it in a room with a larger screen and having, like myself, if I'm in Jamestown, for example, could easily help facilitate from that location. Individuals could do it from their home.
Okay.
You could be in a listen-only mode without being on your computer.
Yep. Well, it has some real advantages.
You know, they might be more limited in interacting that way, but in terms of getting into a queue, but they could send a text, whatever.
Can we get a handle on this and say this? Do we have a start time on the evening one on the 3rd? Is it 5 to 7 so they get here before the Capitol Security closes? Or
sure.
5.
Sounds good.
So 5 to 7 on Wednesday the 3rd through the Ivan networks. If you're using if you're using Minot, we don't need Washburn and Botno. If we're using Botno and Washburn, we don't need Minot.
Okay.
And then on the 5th, we'll do it from noon to 2, and you guys figure out what you think is going to work best and make sure Ottertail knows so they can give at least the details necessary of how people are going to interact with us on each, and they can get it in their bill stuffer. I don't know what the deadline is. I'm sure Jerry knows, but is there anything staff more needs?
And that's the 3rd of March?
April.
Well, these hearings are the 3rd and 5th of April.
April.
But their bill stuffer is earlier than that, and that has to include the directions for people.
Yep.
And the bill stuffer thing, they were hoping for the dates right away here in order to get it going.
Yes.
Well, they just got it on the 3rd and the 5th.
It'll be, okay. It'll be tough to have to get instructions in the bill stuffers because we won't have them yet. In the past, another thing that they've done is sometimes put the notice of hearing into the bill. I think we probably can't do that either.
Jerry, I have a hard time imagining that everybody in Ottertail's system doesn't get a bill in March. And so there's almost 2 weeks before the first of those would go out if they're staggered out throughout the month. So you've got to probably a week to tell them, and they can create these stuffers, I think.
They told me that if they could find out today, they'd have no problem getting the bill stuffers to everybody.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen today with all these details.
So 3rd and 5th, and I'll find out for Ottertail if they can publish, if they can get details or how late.
Yeah,
how late we can give them details. And
I've done a lot of the legwork, so I should be able to come back to you with a pretty hard answer within a fairly short period of time.
Okay, because then we'll
need
to...
I'm perfectly willing, just saying, you guys take care of it. Figure it out. We've got the dates and the times, and you guys can
just make it work.
We'll do something. And
hearing that people never got a description of how they... contact us. They had a date and a time, but didn't know how.
Yeah, so that has to be narrowed out.
We'll figure something, make it work.
Let's make sure we also...
We need also a hearing date. And that has also been fun. I've... Looking like July 25th through the 27th, would work. I've not heard back from Walmart on that date yet.
They get to decide too, huh?
I'm just trying to find it where everybody can make it.
What happened? It seems like every time I plan something, it's all changed. I thought we had the 9th through the 20th or something.
Yeah,
like
the
that.
Email I sent said 9th through the 20th, and now I got an email back from Ottertail saying that somehow or other their cost of capital witness has to do something else the week of the 16th to the 20th. Otherwise, that time was good. Our other possibility was the 9th through the 13th. Ottertail also has an issue during that time, but it's not as serious.
That week that you just mentioned, the 20 whatever?
The 25th through the 27th is Wednesday through Friday of that week.
I have a family reunion that week.
Okay, so that's out. Can we go back to the 9th through the 13th?
Of July, right?
Yeah.
That works for me.
That's 5 days. So we need to do three of them.
Nehruk might be.
The Nehruk is the 15th through the 17th.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, do you want to do the first part of the week? Or?
Uh-huh. So I would say 9th, 10th, 11th, or 10th, 11th, 12th.
Or 11th, 12th, 13th, because we're going to have a meeting during that. Well, I'm hoping that we schedule a meeting for that week, which we'll schedule either Tuesday or Thursday, probably, depending on this.
Your choice, obviously.
Well, either way, that's chews up of Wednesday.
I don't care between the second part of the week or the first part of the week.
It doesn't matter to me.
Let's call it the 11th, 12th, and 13th then, if you guys are both indifferent.
Okay. Possibility, you know, we won't need all 3 days.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Conrad on the rail service and stakeholders meeting?
We'll keep this one brief, hopefully. Working on with scheduling our annual meeting with the railroads in the state, and I reached out to them, and it looks like originally Julie and I worked on this, and we're looking at the week of April 16th, either the 16th, 18th, or 19th, and wondering if any of those days would work. Last year we held it was about a two-hour-long meeting in the afternoon on those on the day that we had it. It was in March of 2017.
I think on the April? 19th we have something.
Yeah, we have 19th SPP. We have SPP in the morning and MISO in the afternoon. Yep. On the 18th, I have the Cass County Youth here in the afternoon.
Okay.
But the morning would be available for me if those guys want to do the morning. But on the 16th, I'm open.
Me too.
All day. So I don't. If you want in the afternoon, it would work for me on the 16th. If the morning's okay, the 16th or the 18th work.
And we try to get the emergency folks here, and we try to get the producers here as well for this to cover all the safety and service.
If they do come in, it might be, I mean, I think it's best, probably works out better for them if they're traveling in from afar, that they probably get here, that we have it in the afternoon, that allows them to do some not super early morning travel, but.
Well, so then we don't 16th? Have to cut something off either. If it goes long, it goes long then.
Yeah, it won't take more than a couple hours. The 16th, does that work for everybody?
Yes,
it works for me.
We want to say 1 o'clock on the
1 o'clock on the 16th then? We'll schedule tentatively. We'll put it down for about 2 hours for now, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Last time, I think it was only an hour and a half.
I think it was a max of an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But as long as at least we have the window, then we've got that.
Okay.
Thanks, Conrad.
I was wondering if it would work for you guys to reschedule the director's meeting and the budget meeting from the 27th to the 26th.
We have an 11 o'clock that day.
Yeah, maybe do it after that.
That works for me.
On the 27th, we have them from the budget from 1 to 1:30, and then the director's from 1:30 to 2:30. Mm-hmm. I think we could actually do the same time or set it back a half hour if you think that
sure.
Economic development tariff might take longer with Otter Tail. So does that work for you guys to
mm-hmm.
move it to the 26th?
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah. Same times.
Yeah. And actually, since that's all internal, then if Otter Tail's thing goes long, we can just set our own team back a little bit. Okay, thank you for that. And then as we're starting to get into some May and even June stuff, I realized last time we scheduled out a few months, we ended in late April, and I started from there and going every 2 weeks and had a conflict on almost every single Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
And so...
Did you look the Wednesday off?
Well, what I did here on these proposed dates I laid out, this is doing a three-week one from our April 27th meeting. Well, 2 weeks and 6 days. It's really a three-week period, hitting it on the 15th, because I have something on Wednesday already. Then the 29th, again, is another Tuesday one. But then they are roughly every 2 weeks. And then you see a Tuesday one in July. That was in anticipation of Otter Tail's thing that we just scheduled. And then leaving another three-week one in August, because we just typically have done that. And... it also helped us hit good dates in September and avoid the Labor Day week. I didn't see anything on our common calendars that conflicted with these, but I don't know if you guys have anything.
I think it's okay at this point, unless something else pops up along the way, but I think it's good for me.
Does it look doable to you, Julie?
I'm just still checking.
Was there all morning then, too,
the
Randy?
The 25th of July is, I will not be here. That's, we have a family reunion. So that is a challenge.
That whole week is kind of a challenge? Or
yeah, like, I think I'm gone that whole week. So when is the one previous to that? July 10th.
Yeah, and then if we move that back, then we get to the 4th of July week. We figured there might be some extended leaves there.
I could probably call in. I mean, we could do it, and I could see about calling in if that, you know, and as we get a little closer, we might be able to adjust it, too.
Or I suppose we also could do a three-week one there coming off the 10th and go to actually the 1st of August then instead of the 8th and then do the 15th of August, have the three-week spell in July. I know we've always done that in August for the employees. I don't know how much of an impact that makes on their plans or not.
Okay, so August 1st and?
So then we'd do, instead of the 25th and the 8th, we'd do the 1st and the 15th. Or do you think it's important that we give a three-week break in August?
At this point in time, isn't it a little speculative, depending on what's going on?
Well, no, we've tried to let people have a meeting with a month with one meeting so that they can plan accordingly, vacations and stuff. So, I guess I'm
okay with the 1st and the 15th. We'll actually have three in July, in August, but then we'd only have one in July.
We wouldn't have to do the 29th. We could make that September one a little bit earlier.
Rather than get into Labor Day week.
Wednesday the 5th? That's a problem?
Yeah. It's not really a huge problem. I can, if you guys don't think that Labor Day week is something to avoid, I mean, it is 2 days after Labor Day.
Yeah, I think people are kind of back after that.
So we'll go September, so what was the goal? Go September 5th then and August 22nd. I'm trying to remember how we got to that
first
point coming off of. And then we would
do it the first.
Combine the 25th of July and August 8th into one August 1st meeting. Right. Is that?
Yeah. Let's try that.
So
August 1st, August 25th, September 5th.
You said August 25th, but I think it was the 22nd.
Probably. I wasn't looking at my...
So, just to be clear for whoever's taking notes, we'll do these first five. Eliminate July 25th and August 8th. Replace it with August 1. And then eliminate August 29. Replace it with August 22nd. Eliminate September 12, replace it with September 5. Good?
Good.
I'm just going to have to double check the 22nd. At this point, I'm going to say good, but I have a family gathering on the 23rd, 24th, 25th.
So if you ended up with a conflict, it would just be a matter of switching it to the 21st, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we can do that as we go.
Yeah, I'll double-check. We're still firming things up on the family end.
Okay. So if everybody's comfortable with that, we'll go ahead and get those scheduled. Thank you. Once again, more time on scheduling than on our meeting.